Take your Bible tonight and turn to 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel, chapter number 23. 2 Samuel, chapter number 23. This morning, I announced that the sermon tonight was going to be about spring fever. Spring fever. 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel 23. I have to tell you this. Once you found it, look at me, and we're going to stand in just a moment. It was the spring, and there were four boys that high school boys rode to school together every day. Well, they didn't want to go to class one morning, and so the four of them said, "Well, let's cut class. We'll cut our first couple of classes, and we won't go in." And so they skipped school for the first couple of hours. They got to school and they'd come up with a story, and they went to the teacher and said, "You know, Mrs. Teacher, sorry, we weren't here. We had a flat tire." And they'd been down to the river throwing rocks and having them a good time because they had spring fever. She said, "Boys, that's okay." She said, "The only thing is you missed a little test that we took while you were gone. Now, I want all four of you to sit down, take out a piece of paper and a pencil, and I want you to set apart so that you can't copy each other's questions." She said, "Now, there's only one question on today's test. Which tire?" Okay, let's all stand together, if you will. Stand. 2 Samuel chapter 23. We're going to look at verse number 3. Now, we'll start with verse 1. I'm going to read 2 Samuel 23, verse 1. We're going to read all the way through the beginning of verse 5. It says, "Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. For the God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, when a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God." Look back at me, if you will. These are words that God said, that David wrote. David, the son of Jesse, by the anointing of God, they called him the sweet psalmist. And he's talking about what I believe is a spring time. I'll show you exactly what I mean. Let's pray and ask the Lord to get involved tonight. Father, bless us tonight. I pray we'd turn the cell phones off and turn our minds and hearts on. I pray, God, that we would let the Holy Spirit speak to us, warn us, challenge us, change us, protect us, and keep us in a proper attitude at this time of the year. Thank you for the folks that are here. Thank you for the good music. Thank you for all that you've done for us tonight. Now may you be uplifted. May the Word of God be uplifted. And might we be better because of it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat if you will. I believe that when David was speaking here, I think it is very clear that he was speaking in the Spirit of God. And I think that he is speaking in reference to the springtime, and I'm going to show that to you. I think Jesus is much like the spring. He's fresh and he's new every morning, and there's something about him that just enlightens us and encourages us, and spring is a bit that way. He is one of life, and spring is a time of life. Now, I looked it up. I looked up in Webster's Dictionary how Webster's Dictionary defined the term spring, and they said, Webster said this: "It's a season between winter and summer." Of course, we know that. "It's a time of sudden movement upward. It's a time of quick growing. It's a time when something is suddenly made known and seen. It's a time, it's a bud time." Now, that's not Budweiser's, just so you know. It's the emergence. It's a time of the emergence of the grass and the stem. And that's how Webster defined it. Now, listen to this as I break down a scripture or two and remind you of what you just heard that I just read. In 2 Samuel 23:4, it said, "And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after the rain." Notice it said, "And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth." Here he's talking about, and it's a comparison to Jesus, but I think it's also the actual springtime as a comparison. It's talking about sunshiny mornings, bright, clean, and that happens because you've got the showers and there's a cleanness. And did you know morning comes, the sun comes up earlier? And so there's the bright morning. Then it says, as the tender grass. Now, anyone that knows about spring knows that there's new grass coming up. And that tender grass, you ever seen where someone has taken actual seed and thrown it out? And boy, that grass, you just look at it. It looks tender. It's extra green. It's extra pure. It's a new, refreshing growth. Then it goes on. It says springing out of the earth. And there's the word spring. I do not know exactly the origin of the word spring. I think it has something to do with the fact that the plants are springing out of the earth. I think that's where it comes from. It's a time where new things are springing up, sprouting up, if you will. It's time when the grass and the leaves and the flowers are springing forth from the trees, from the branches, from the ground. We talk about time change. You spring forward in the spring and you fall backwards in the fall. So again, with all that in mind, David, I think he's describing the Savior with spring, but I also think that he is describing a time of the year. The flowers are budding. The green grass is fresh. It's springtime. Then it says, by clear shining after rain. Spring is a time of rain. I know you all don't know that here in New Bern. But rain feeds the grass. We say April showers bring May flowers. What is it? Spring. And he's saying here, there's the shining after the rain. And it, you know, you all know and how our area is so beautiful. There's nothing like the rain and then watching the rain pass and a moment later that sunshine come out and everything looks so clean and fresh. It's a refreshing time of good growth. It's a delightful time. It's a spring cleaning time. Hey, it's a time when nature moves toward God, obeying God's plan. Now, you all, I don't know how many of you would see this anymore or practice it, but when I was growing up, for a long time, we didn't have a clothes dryer. Now, eventually, we got one, but when we didn't have a clothes dryer, my mom, in the spring and summer, would hang everything out on a clothesline. And I'll tell you something. They've got all sorts of scents in your fabric softeners and things like that. You can get lemon and fresh scents and things like that. There's nothing like God's fresh air taking care of those sheets and those pillowcases and things like that. Climbing in to a freshly changed linens on a bed is really something. That's spring. And I think it's being talked about here. A time of the fresh breeze that carries the scent of those sweet smells. My wife enjoys the smell of honeysuckle. Well, I'll tell you, if you've ever been around when that the wind is carrying a little scent of honeysuckle around, it is really something. Then it goes on, it says, although my house be not so with God. Now, he's saying this season of spring, things are going forward. He's saying, my house isn't in line with this right now. That's what's said. Could it be that in David's day they suffered with the dreaded disease that we call spring fever? Webster's dictionary talks about a fever. What's a fever? Well, it's a disease of which its chief symptom is a state of heightened emotion or activity, or the temperature goes up. The spring season can be a wonderful and refreshing season if it's handled properly, spiritually. But David said at that moment, his spring was not what it was supposed to be. Said, my house, it's not really, we're not practicing spring right. Spring fever can make you spiritually sick if you're not careful. But I think what would happen if God had a spiritual thermometer, you know, like you put under your tongue. And I wonder if God took his spiritual thermometer, put it in your mouth, put it under your tongue. I wonder if he'd say, oh, it looks to me like you've got spring fever. Huh? If you'll listen to me, I believe that our life has seasons. I believe there are times of the year where there are different types of dangers. You will find that I like preaching on decision-making in May. You say, why? It's graduation time. You'll find that I like to preach on watch your finances in November. You say, why? Because Christmas is coming. You'll find that I'll help you with your burdens, your heartaches, and some depression in December and January because it's a time of family, and if family's not good during Christmas and the New Year's, you know, there's more suicides during those 2 months than any other time of the year. So on those times of the year, I feel like it's a good idea to help people with those emotions. Guess what? It's springtime. And in my way of thinking, there's some things about the spring that I think it's wise that as your pastor, I just inform you a little. Because I wouldn't want you to get spiritually sick in the spring with spring fever. Now, if we've not already been practical in the introduction, it's going to get even more practical as we step into the sermon. For instance, number one, spring fever can make your finances sick. It can make your finances sick. I was studying one day and I read in Genesis 47, verse 18. I won't tell you the whole story behind it, but there's a part of a verse I want to show you. The Bible says, when that year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, we will not hide it from our Lord how that our money spent. Here's somebody spent all their money. Our money's gone. Can I tell you that you have got to be careful, a little extra careful with your money in the springtime. Springtime can cause some unwise spending. And I'll tell you who knows it. The car lots know it. The car lots understand spring fever. You say, what are they going to do? Well, they're going to wax those cars up and get those products out there that are going to entice you the most. You just watch up and down MLK. They're going to have those, the nicest, the shiniest. They're going to pop them out there where everybody can see them because you felt like it's been cold. It's been nasty. We haven't been able to get out and spread our wings. And now we're going to see those cars. I really believe that in the spring, if we're not careful, we'll make poor financial decisions. There's nothing wrong with having a nice car. There's nothing wrong with having, if you had a Jeep that you could take the top off of it, that's okay. There's nothing sinful about that. But can I tell you, you need to be able to afford it. And you can't just wake up one April morning and say, boy, you smell that honeysuckle. You see that sunshine. You see those beautiful flowers. I'm buying me a car. You say, people aren't like that. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I happen to know. Spring is a time of clean cars, so we go buy a new one that's already clean. Be careful. You got to make the payments. And I don't know about you, and maybe I'm the only one. I have to be careful in the spring. Boy, that spring hits, and I'm thinking. And you know what? Some of the heavier power bills had passed, at least over the winter, and you got kind of Christmas paid off and Thanksgiving, and you finally made a little comeback after all the credit card payments and everything, and the spring hits, and you get a little reprieve, and your tax money comes back, and you're thinking all the wonderful things I can have. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would recommend before you just go buy that beautiful shiny red convertible that costs you three times more than what you have, you might want to pray about it. Don't purchase in the flesh. Purchase on purpose. We can get to spending on the house, on the yard. Hey, and I think we ought to keep our homes up. I think you ought to mow the yard even if you got to get a goat. I think you ought to keep the house up. I think you ought to keep it clean. But spring can do something to us. Men, I am your friend. We are men. But I have to tell you, that $27,000 riding mower that you have to have, and you've got about a 1/10 of an acre of grass, there may be overkill in your intent here. And every man here knows exactly what I'm thinking. But be careful now. We can spend on the yard. We can spend on the house. Can I recommend this to everybody? Be careful even with your vacations. And I think families ought to get together and take vacations. And I think you ought to save. And I think you ought to spend a little money. But be careful. Boy, this season hits and we'll spend. I think sometimes there's a thing called a timeshare. I think sometimes timeshares are good for people. I think sometimes timeshares are terrible for people. They bring you in and say, boy, you buy this timeshare, we're also going to give you a microwave. And you say, wow, I spend $15,000 on the timeshare, I get a free microwave. Listen, if you're making that decision and you need a new microwave, come see me. I can get you one cheaper than 15 grand. Oh, and the timeshare, of course. But I have to tell you, I've been through enough with people, and that desire, it hits them. Especially when we get our money back from the government. Be careful. You know what else happens to us? Spring fever hits, and we can goof up our finances. And I'll say more about this in a moment, but I got to say it now. It hits us, and we don't want to go to work. Because it's spring. I told the joke about the boys wanting to skip school. Well, adults want to skip work. But you do realize if you don't work, they've been doing this lately, they won't pay you. It's a new concept. You got to go to work to get the money so you can pay the bills. And the spring kind of does that to you. Don't waste your tax return. Pay your bills. Don't waste it. And sometimes spring hits. Ladies, I got on the men about them mowers. The spring can hit, and ladies say, we got to get clothes. I've got to have a new wardrobe. And these are last year's shoes. And nobody's wearing them. Nobody. Spring fever. And y'all laugh because I'm telling the truth. So I just want to warn you that spring fever can make your finances sick. Secondly, spring fever really, really can work on young people. It can really work on young people. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, it says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. God says in your youth, be extra careful. I think sometimes our youth, our emotions are extra heightened. And then we're not always real sure. We've not developed the ability to control them. We don't see what's coming at us. We misrespond to our emotions in our youth. After you grow a little and you get a little older in life, you learn how to control them a little more, and you know how your emotions can kind of deceive you and lie to you and lead you astray. Young people, be careful. Spring fever can affect you. Young people see the spring has sprung and they want to go outside. And let me say, I don't think that's bad. But when you're supposed to be inside doing chores for mom and dad and you're outside because of spring fever, you're going to have some conflict somewhere. Young people, don't skip school because springtime's here. Don't go play ball instead of do your homework. You know, if it's cold enough, you can't go out and play ball because it's just too cold to go out and play ball. Now the spring's here, though. And I'm for playing ball. I've seen a couple of you play. I probably wouldn't do it a lot. But hey, I'm for playing ball. And I will tell you this. I don't think you ought to be sitting in the house watching the television and playing games on your computer all day long. I think you need to get outside and climb a tree and eat a worm and get out there and have a good time. But you can't do that instead of the things you're supposed to do. And the spring tends to make us want to do that. They call it cabin fever. And the colder and the rougher the winter, often the greater that cabin fever is. That's where you just want to get out of the house and you want to get outside. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with riding bikes. As long as you're riding a bike when you're supposed to ride a bike and you're in English class when you're supposed to be in English class. Young people, spring fever, if you're not careful, you won't pay attention in school. I was involved in education long enough to know that when spring would hit, I would watch some of my best students, even my best students' grades, start going down. You say, why? Because they're looking out the window and they cannot wait to get out. They're more interested in getting out than getting in. And it's nice out. And that fever, as we call it, overtakes us. It's like coming out of hibernation like a bear. And especially a young person gets a burst of energy. And if you're not careful, hey, anybody here that's ever been involved in education at all different levels, when the spring hits, if you have a demerit system in your school, you write more demerits in the spring. Why? Because everybody's just full of energy. We're ready to go, 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 go. Kids get ants in their pants. And hey, I think recess is always important. But for some reason in the spring, to a child, recess is double dog important. They don't want to miss it. Matter of fact, let's cancel math and have recess. And if we're not careful, we want to get outside and go have fun. So may I say to the young people, spring fever in your youth can cause you to do less than your best at things. So we all understand the season should not affect our spirituality. We're supposed to do right, whether it's winter, summer, whether it's fall, we're to do right. Let me say this, number three. I think spring fever can bring the disease of unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness. Psalm 92, verse 1 and 2, it says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto His name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night." God said, show your faithfulness. I think the spring brings a desire for a bit of a change of routine. And I think the natural, what God does, creates some of that, because the sun comes up earlier and it sets later. And if we're not careful, though, we won't stay in our schedule. And so, you know, so many goof up in life is we don't stay in our schedule. We don't go where we're supposed to go and do what we're supposed to do. And when you're not where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing, then the devil slips in. So be careful that you're faithful in the spring. And everybody here understands, you get up in the morning. You used to get up in the morning and it was still dark and it's still kind of chilly out. Now you get up in the morning and it's 70 degrees and the sun's shining and you walk out there and you got that coffee and you're thinking, I don't know if I want coffee or a big glass of cold water. It used to be something hot every morning. But it's changed, and if you're not careful, you'll want to change your routine. So you start showing up for work late. Don't let spring fever cause you to be unfaithful to work. Don't let spring fever cause you to be unfaithful to school. Don't let spring fever cause you to become unfaithful to your ministry. Now, you were faithful, you were coming, you were going to one of the soul winning meetings, and you were faithful, but the spring hit, and spring sprung, and you split. Now you're not coming anymore. You don't go on your bus route like you ought to. Why? The spring's here. And you're going to enjoy it. And I am for you enjoying the spring. I'm for you having some of that freedom and enjoying life. But I'm just telling you, I believe that spring is a season of the year where you have to be extra careful. Don't let spring fever cause you to become unfaithful to your ministry. Don't let the spring and summer cause you to be unfaithful to church. Don't stay home from church and do your yard work. Don't go to the ocean instead of come to church. I had someone ask me, they said, "Preacher, now that you're 45 minutes from the ocean, are you still going to preach against the things that are wrong in association to the ocean?" Absolutely I will. Where I'm at is not going to change the principles and the truths of God that I believe are right. Leviticus 18:6 says, "None of you shall approach to any of that near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord." Look, you're going to find something out. When the spring comes, somehow we have a tendency we want to take our clothes off. You're not supposed to do that. And when it's talking about nakedness here, it's not talking about being totally unclothed. It's talking about showing parts of your body God doesn't want you to show. There is a connection between sin and nakedness. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 2:9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. Shamefacedness really means a bashfulness toward men, not drawing attention to your body. Modesty, it's being chaste or decent, not displaying your body. I'm going to say something, and some of you, you might not totally understand it. I just don't think I understand how you could go down and put a bikini on, go out in public, and think that you're modest. Doesn't that look like underclothes the rest of the year? So I don't think in the spring God said, well, it's okay to take all your clothes off, run down there just because there's water or sand. Y'all are going to be okay. It gets worse. It gets worse, just so you know. Preachers used to say things like this all the time. They don't much anymore. It's a time when people, the fewer clothes we wear, really, sometimes the less spiritual we are anyway. Let's be modest. Let's not let nudity become a temptation. Hey, let me show you something that's natural. Notice when the springtime hits, God clothes things. He doesn't unclothe them. Trees in the spring grow leaves. The ground in the spring is covered with grass. The stems in the spring are covered with leaves and flowers. The human race has it backwards. The spring hits, we want to take our clothes off. But in the spring, God says, let's get things covered up. Don't let spring fever cause you to think lustful thoughts. And I would recommend this, if I were you, I think to all of us, be careful. You know, if somebody were going to have a cookout or a barbecue, I think that's good. But I'm not going to go to barbecues where they're drinking and they're doing wrong. And might I say, and again, I know some of you aren't totally used to me yet, but I got to tell you, if you're in the public school, I don't recommend you go to the prom and listen to the rock and roll music full of lost people and all the dancing and the immorality and the booze and the drugs, and it's the night to lose your virginity. I'm not for that. I would not allow immorality to become a part of the spring. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just telling you what I very, very clearly see. The spring hits and we kind of lose it. Let's be spiritual in the spring and in the summer and in the fall and in the winter because it's the right thing to do. When I was reading what David said, boy, there's something fresh. And the sunshine and the greenness and all of it. I see very clearly that in the spring, there's an attitude that develops. But David said, "In my house is not that way right now." Something was off at his house in the spring. Let's keep our heads screwed on straight spiritually in the spring. I just called the sermon Spring Fever. You've had all you can take tonight. We're going to close the sermon out at this point. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I hope you'll search what I said. You say, you're trying to steal all my fun. I really want you just to do the right thing. I want you to do the right thing. Watch out for the spring. Watch out for it. Who tonight, I have my head bowed, my eyes closed, who tonight would say, God spoke into my heart, I do want to be extra careful with the spring, and maybe God spoke to you specifically about something. Who would raise your hand and let God see it and say, I want to be cautious with the spring, or God has spoken to my heart about the spring? You may put your hand up. I'm not looking. You can put your hand down. We're going to have an altar call. If you need to come and pray, maybe you just need to come and say, Lord, give me extra strength and wisdom and propriety. Just give me what I need for the spring. Maybe some of you already, you've already found yourself doing some things. I'll preach a sermon like this, and I did not know what you went out and bought, but somebody's probably looking at it saying, oh, good gravy, what did I do? Well, let God help you with it. That's what we need. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. You need to come and pray and just get strength from God or wisdom from God. You have a burden or a heartache. If If it's something about just the spring, you come and you pray. Be modest, be clean. It's spring, it's summer. You can swim, and you don't have to be immodest. There's a way to do it, but we don't do it like the world does it. Young people, don't let your grades drop. Some of you, you've been doing well in school, but now the spring's here. Now you don't want to study. Now you don't want to stay in your routine. There are people in here, you need to go to work. I know the spring's here. Grown men want to go fishing instead of go to work. And I think you ought to want to go fishing. But you got to go to work. You can't let it be replaced. The spring has sprung. Be careful. This will be the last time through our song.